If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and let me give you a little background exactly what's happening here. The Israelites have finally moved into the promised land, and they finally conquered all the people out of that land. They've taken possession of it. And Joshua comes with this final proclamation that we must choose today who we're going to serve. And I give you the same charge today, that who are you going to serve? Let God be God and every man a liar. We have to serve God and Him alone. But we have to choose. God gives us that choice of who we're going to serve. And Joshua here in chapter 24, he begins to talk to the people. He gives them a great charge here, starting at verse 14. Joshua says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors. Worship beyond the Euphrates River and Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestor serves beyond the Euphrates, or the god of the Amorites in those lands which we are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us out and our parents out of Egypt from the land of slavery before, and He performed great signs and wonders before our eyes. He protected us as on our entire journey and among all nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all nations, including the Amorites, whom we live in their land. We will serve the Lord because He is God." And then I love what Joshua says here. He says, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make the end of you after He has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." And the people said, "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away all your foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people answered to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him." The title of my message this morning is Living in the Promised Land. How do we live in the Promised Land? How do we stay in the Promised Land? How do we get there? The answer, I believe, is found in Joshua chapter 24, 15. We all know this scripture. We actually have the plaques on our walls. We have the bumper stickers. And what did Joshua say? He said this, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So what was Joshua saying? The first thing that we have to do if we're going to live in the promised land, if we are going to serve God and serve Him only, we have to be committed. Oh, a terrible word, isn't it? No one wants to be committed. No one wants to be committed in their marriage. No one wants to be committed in their job. No one wants to be committed to the church. But if we are going to live in the promised land, if we're going to move on with God, the first thing that we have to do, we have to be committed. And Joshua said that in the very first words. He said, "As for me and my house." What Joshua was proclaiming to the whole nation of Israel, if you all forsake God, if you all go back to Egypt, if you all turn away, me and my house, we will stay true to the Lord. And that's what it's going to take if you're going to stay true to the Lord. You've got to have commitment. But commitment is a hard thing to do. This week I'll be married 48 years to that young lady back there. We got married when we were about 12 years old. And the reason we are still married, even with all her faults, I'm in trouble for that. It's because we are committed to one another. Now, our marriage is not perfect. We have a lot of problems sometimes, but we are committed to each other because the Lord put us together. And if we are going to stay true to God, the first thing that we have to do is like Joshua did. He was committed to the Lord. And when you look at Joshua's life, you see Joshua, born a slave in Egypt, rose up, committed to the Lord, followed after Moses, committed after Moses, because Moses followed the Lord. He saw all that. He saw how God defeated all the gods of Israel, all the gods of Egypt, one after another. He saw that with his own eyes. And he was committed to God every step of the way. He saw that. He saw how it was when they finally got out of Egypt. And when they left Egypt, they didn't leave empty-handed. It said they had the spoils of Egypt. They had gold, silver, horses, cattle, donkeys, carts. They left rich because God is great. They were a slave, and now they're a great and mighty nation. Joshua saw all those miracles. And then finally, when they get close to the promised land years later, Joshua saw what disobedience meant, when people stopped being committed to God, when Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 went into the promised land. And Joshua and Caleb came back with a great report. We can take this land. This land is given to us. God is on our side. But Israel listened to the other 10 spies. And Joshua watched how everyone that was his age and older passed away in the wilderness because they were not committed to God. And then finally Joshua begins to take over the nation. Moses dies and Joshua rises up as their great and mighty leader. And one thing about Joshua, he was committed. City after city after city, they all fell because Joshua and Israel was committed to take the promised land. And finally they have the promised land. They have the promise that God gave way back in the day to Abraham. Commitment. And if you are going to stay true to God, if you're going to grow in God, the first thing you have to do is be committed to Him. You've got to put God first in all your ways. He can't be second place. Commitment. In James, it talks about a double-minded man. He's so unstable in all his ways. What does that mean? That means someone that's double-minded. It means he says one thing and does something else. Have you ever met anybody like that? I got a lot of friends like that. Don't worry, I'll call you. You can forget about it. That phone is never going to ring. They're going to never call you. And then when you call them back, they go, oh, yeah, I forgot to give you that call back. But when you're committed to God, He is committed to you. You can't fail. For He's a great and mighty God. That's why they're in the promised land. And they knew that. It wasn't because they had a great and mighty armor, but God was with them. Because God was with them because they were committed. And that's what Joshua said that day. As for me and my house. And we have to do that also. We are surrounded by non-believers in our neighborhood, but we are still committed to God. Kind of funny, the other day I was talking to a friend of mine. He goes, are you still doing that Jesus thing? After all these years? Are you still going on mission trips after all these years? I go, yeah, where else would I go? At the age of 19, I committed my life to Christ. And I can say this for a fact, that every day, Jesus is sweeter than the day before. As I draw close to him, you know what? He draws close to me. And God is looking for a church that is committed to him, that no matter what happens, no matter what the law may say, we are committed to follow after Christ. And as long as we stay committed, we will not fail, because our God does not fail. For years and years, I was committed to this team called the Washington Redskins. Have pity on me. And for years I had season tickets. For over 20 years I had season. Wasted all that money. Don't laugh back there. I know you're laughing at me. But I always made up my mind that I would never go to a game without first coming to the house of the Lord. I was committed to God first, and then I would go over there and be disappointed time and time again. Waste my money. But I was committed to that team. Finally, I woke up. And it was kind of funny. Last year, I went to a Redskins game. They're playing Tom Brady's team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have zero chance to win. Zero. The best quarterback in the league. And you know what? The Redskins won. Shocker. I kept waiting for them to lose, but they didn't lose. So I had a great time. Went to church, had a great time. Went to the Redskins, had a great time. Now they call them Commanders or something like that. Somebody said we ought to call them the Commies. I don't know if that's politically correct either. But God is looking for a people that are committed to him. And praise God for Joshua. He was committed to the Lord. What's the next thing that we have to do if we're going to follow after God, if we're going to live in the promised land? The next thing we have to do, and this is a real dirty word, we have to serve. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we will what? We will serve. Now, service does not come easy. It's not in our nature to serve one another, right? I don't mind when people serve me. I love it. Man, when you go to the restaurant and they serve you and they bring out your drinks on time, man, I love that. I love being served. But God is looking for a group of people that will be servants. Woo, got quiet. Are you here to serve God? For that is your calling. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to learn how to serve him. You ever seen a little kid growing up? Do you have to teach them to serve? You better. Because what does the little kid say? I want, I need. You got to serve him all the time. Even your little grandson, you have to serve him, right? You don't just lay him there and say, hey, serve me breakfast, you know, serve me lunch. You don't do that. Something that we have to learn. And God is looking for a people that will serve him. We all know the story of the Last Supper. Here they are, Jesus getting ready to be crucified. And if you know anything about customs in the Bible days, before you ate, you washed your feet. In your hands. But somehow Judas or somebody didn't hire somebody to do that particular job that day. I guess Judas didn't have any money, so no one was there to wash the feet. And I could just hear Peter saying, I'm not washing Matthew's feet, that no good ex-tax collector. I'm not washing his feet. You know what happened? Nobody washed anybody's feet. And then finally, Jesus had enough. And then think about this. The creator of the universe, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, The one that made the heaven and the earth, the one that puts breath in your life, the one that created you, he bowed down, he took the role of a servant, and instead he wrapped a towel around him, and he began to wash the disciples' feet one after another. Why? Because Jesus knew, in order to be great in his kingdom, you have to be a servant of all. And Jesus Christ washed those disciples' feet to give them example that no one is greater than anybody else, that we're all equal. And then Jesus said these words, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." That was Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, he came down from heaven, glory. He came down from the place that we can't even imagine. He came down to be with you and to me and to make us more like him. And see, Jesus didn't just tell us how to be a servant. He showed us how to be a servant. And if you're going to be great in God's kingdom, and I want to be great in God's kingdom, I have to be a servant. You have to learn how to serve. Because the Bible says, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to all the parts that lack it. So no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. We're all equal. I'm not greater than you. You're not greater than me. Just because I'm preaching today does not make me any better than anybody else. We are all equal in God's eyes. That's right. And we have to learn that. We have to learn how to serve each other. When you see a need, don't point at it and say, somebody needs to take care of that. I believe God's telling you for you to take care of that. You know how I can tell if we've got a good youth pastor or not? This is how I can tell. When we have a party or something downstairs, a gathering, and if I see the youth pastor grabbing the trash after it's full and taking it outside, I say that's a good man. Because that's what it takes. A servant's heart. Do you know the average stay of a pastor is about 3 to 6 years? And you know why? Because a lot of pastors have these big heads that I'm the king kahuna and everybody has to serve me. Praise God, we don't have that kahuna with us today. We got Pastor Tim. He's a servant. He's been here almost 30 years because him and his wife have a servant's heart. And they show us by example, this is what you have to do. If you want to grow in God, you've got to become a servant. I remember years ago, there's a Korean church not too far from here. And the pastor that did the English service left. So the district called me up and asked me that I could fill in for 2 weeks. It ended up to being about like 6 months. But it was amazing how that Korean culture, they knew how to serve. Unbelievable. And I realized that that particular congregation that I was in charge of, they didn't do a whole lot of outreach. So I said, okay, this Saturday, we're going to go feed the homeless. Whoever wants to come, you can bring your kimchi or whatever you want to bring. That's their stinky that's the only way to describe it. It's kind of rotten cabbage, but they love it. And whatever you want to bring, we're going to bring and feed the homeless. And you know what? I showed up about 11:30. We went to a shelter up here in Bellies Crossroads, and everybody in that church showed up. I was shocked. I was so shocked. I said, okay, here's what we got to do now. We got to go in shifts. We got too many people. We got too much food. So this shift goes for the first 15 minutes. This shift goes for the next 15 minutes. And for about an hour and a half, we fed the homeless. And it was awesome. I believe Harvest Church can be like that. I think we all can be servants. Where this church lacks nothing, that we have more children's church workers than we need, we have more ushers, but it all comes down to being a servant. Are you willing to be a servant? Because that's the only way. Jesus Christ showed us how to serve. In most churches, we have people that I call them consumer Christians. They come with their little shopping cart. They treat the church like a Walmart. They put stuff in their basket, and then they go. They come with the attitude that, well, okay, if they have good preaching, they have comfortable pews, they have a youth group and children's churches, workers, and they have, if they can meet all my needs, then I'll go to that church. Consumer Christian. But see, God is looking for servant Christians, people that come to church with this type of attitude. Where can I serve? Where are they lacking? Where can I fit in? What can I do? Don't have the attitude, well, I pay my tithes. It's up to the church to make me happy. No. It's up to the church to make you a servant, to serve God. Because believe it or not, there's joy in serving. It is. You know, next week I'm doing something real crazy. I'm going to be teaching children's church. Teaching your little... your blessings, yes. That's not what I was going to say, but that's a good word. What I was going to say, your little demons, but no, that wouldn't be good. No, your blessings is a much better word, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Tim, for giving me that word. But see, it's funny, once I get down there, the joy of the Lord, we have a great time, and I look forward to that. And I know I'm old. I shouldn't be down there, you know. But see, God still can use you no matter how old or how young you are. So become that servant of the Lord. That's what Joshua did. Joshua led by example. Joshua was, the reason he was a great leader is because he was a servant first. He served the people. Joshua never asked a man to go into battle that he wasn't willing to go in with them. He showed by example how it was to be a servant, and they became a great and mighty nation. And all the people around them were terrified of the Israelites because they knew that their God was great. And they had a great leader because Joshua was sold out to the Lord. He wasn't backing down one bit. And what's the third and final thing we must do? Joshua said we must serve the Lord. The Lord. Not yourself, not your boss, not your neighbors, not your wife. Serve the Lord. Now, all those things are good, and we should serve each other, but first has to be serving God. Put God first, serve Him first, and then you know what it says? Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all the other things that we worried about, that we're concerned about, will be added unto it. In other words, there'll be enough time to do those things. And I'm asking each one of us, when you wake up tomorrow morning, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to share the gospel with? How can I help other people in my neighborhood to see Jesus in me? And that's what it takes when you serve God. Because God will direct your path. He will put people in your path that you can minister to. People that are lonely and hungry and thirsty and need help. God will bring them one by one into your life. And you can either reject them or help them. But when you serve the Lord, you know what? You will never reject those people. You will reach out a helping hand, for you are a servant of the Most High. You are a servant of God. So serve Him with gladness. Be happy that God has called you His servant. When I think of the story of King David, and I think of that story where he should have been off to war, but he is on the rooftop, and all of a sudden he sees this beautiful young lady taking a bath. And what does King David say? Bring the binoculars! I want to check this woman out. Well, they didn't have binoculars. He didn't say that. But And David began to lust after Bathsheba. Just think what would have happened if King David would have turned his back and walked back into the palace and said, get my horse, I have to go out to battle. Just think of all the heartache and all the trials and all the struggles would not have happened if he'd have done the right thing. And I can tell you this, when you're serving God, you will do the right thing because you and God are so close. You can't serve God like this. You got to serve God like that. I mean, you're rubbing skin to skin. He's leading and directing your life. He's showing you what to do, how to do it, where to go. But when you get away from God, and that's what happened to King David, just think of all the heartache. He would have never had a relationship with that woman. He would have never got her pregnant. He would have never had to have her husband killed to cover up his sin. He would have never had that young child die during childbirth. All that heartache because David stopped serving God. But praise be to God that David finally woke up one day and he began to serve God with his whole heart once again. None of us in this room are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have shortcomings. But I can guarantee you one thing. If you will stand up like Joshua, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If that can be your battle cry, if that could be on your lips every day you wake up, I can guarantee you that a lot of the problems that you have and you're going through, they will fade away because God will bring you to the promised land. And Joshua told the people that they could not do what he was asking them to do. He said, God is a jealous God. Now, when we think of jealousy, we think of an attribute that's destructive, that destroys a marriage, that destroys relationships. But see, God's jealousy is totally different. God's jealousy is a holy jealousy because God knows if he does not stay jealous on us to try to keep us on the right path, we will wander. We will go after other gods. We will make mistakes. But God is so jealous, he will not allow that if you allow God to take control of your life. For he's a jealous God. He's a holy God. And he wants a holy people. He wants people that will follow after him no matter what. And as you read the rest of the chapter 24, you find out that that generation that proclaimed, I will serve God, I will stay close to God, that generation throughout their entire life, they served the Lord. They lived in peace. They said what they were going to do, and they did. It says in verse 21, or let's see which one it is, verse 31. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders. Why? Because they were committed. They had a heart servant, and they served the Lord. And they proved Joshua wrong. And I want Harvest Church to be just like those Israelites that will stand up and say, as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord no matter what comes our way. Sickness comes our way, I will serve the Lord. I lose my house, I will serve the Lord. I lose my job, I will serve the Lord. I lose every dollar I have in the bank, I will serve the Lord. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a people that no matter what comes your way, you will serve the Lord. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to forsake all other gods and follow after Jesus? That's what it's going to take to live in the promised land. And I'll close with this story. I read it the other day. And on your way out, if you want, we have some books for you. It's a 40-day devotion about the persecuted church. And this story is in that book. Sister Tung, Chinese pastor in China. And as you know, in China, they have religious freedom, but her church was illegal because, In her church, they had people under the age of 18. And they preached the gospel. They didn't just preach what the government wanted them to preach. And sure enough, she was found out and they arrested her. They put her in prison for 6 months to be re-educated, to think more like a communist. And basically, it's a terrible place, dirty, filthy, terrible food, rats, place that no one would want to go to there. And when she got out, she was interviewed by the Voice of the Martyrs. And they asked her, well, how was prison? And she said, it was wonderful. So the interviewer said, wait a minute, she didn't understand the question. She didn't quite understand. Ask her again, how was prison? Prison, you know, the terrible place, how was prison? And she smiled and she said, it was wonderful. And he asked her, how could it be wonderful? She said, because the presence of Lord, the presence of God was so real in that prison, that I could feel him every day like never before. And because of him being in that prison, I started a prison ministry. And many came to know Jesus. You ask me how prison is? She said, it's beautiful. See, because wherever God leads you, if you're in his will, you're in the promised land. It's a beautiful place. And you can have the attitude that no matter where God takes you, and he will take you if you'll let him, he will take you and he will bless you. And sometimes he takes you to places you don't want to go. But if you go with God, it's beautiful. And you come out victorious.